Okay, seems like started up first time. Okay, this is Alex. Welcome to the tripod. We'll be breaking down round 12. Obviously, that just finished with the Tigers Bulldogs game, and as we do every Sunday, we'll take you through the round that was, plus obviously all the bets that we had on throughout the week. And not a bad week. This one probably not one of our best, that's for sure, because it was a losing week. We went 19-22 on best bets. Let me just get Jacob in here. But even so,
straight weeks going 60% on best bets. So the streak had to end somewhere, and I guess it does show that it's not as easy to make money sports betting as most people think. But yeah, first things first, download the Tripod app. That's TRYPOD. That's where you can find all our tips, all our multis. We cashed an $11.40 multi yesterday, so you'll get all those in the app. And then, all our bonus bet comps as well. Basically, we had 5 days in a row of free $50 bonus bet comps as well. Jacob, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. RIP to the doggy season. They really had to have that win, especially without as much as 8-0 in that game. You've got to get that one. And we were talking, you know, it's the halfway point in the season. Every team has played 12 of their 24 games, even though there's 14 rounds to go. We've got the dog days coming up of the NRL season with buys, and it's going to be slim picking some days for games. But it's a good time to assess where teams are at. And for the doggies, in a typical story, they're close, they're tough, they fight hard, they don't have the execution. The Tigers are a similar side. You can say a lot of the same things about them, and they just had a little bit too much for the Dogs, came over the top. We had all the underplays in that game, so we did quite well. What did we lose on that one? Oh, we actually had the Tigers to have a first half lead, which they let us down. But 4-1 in that game is pretty good. And I would say the story of this round was the bets that we didn't make. The ones we left on the table cost us, and we end up going 19-22, as you mentioned, a slight loss, but still a very healthy record through the first half of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I guess onto that Tigers Bulldogs game, like you said, we went 4-1 on that one because we were all over the unders. We did have a slight lean to the Tigers, but we just knew these are two massively under teams. And like we sometimes talk about, you know, there's over teams, like, you know, the Raiders, teams that throw it around a lot. And then there's under teams. And they're two under teams. Like I said to you, I think a couple of weeks back, I asked you how many times you thought the Tigers had scored over 20 points this season. We're in round 12 now, and they've done it 3 times. You want to hazard a guess at the Bulldogs? How many times through 12 rounds they've scored over 20 points?
I guess about the same, 2 or 3.
Fucking once. Their offense is fucking putrid. They've scored over 20 points in one game, and that was against the Cowboys. But yeah, same old story. Bulldogs just went absolutely missing in the second half. Once again, gave up a halftime lead. Backtrack to Thursday. Broncos beat the Eels 18-10. We did like the Eels in that one, but we got a few good plays on it, so we only went 4-5. Look, I'll be completely honest. I know a lot of people in the group were heaping shit on the Eels. I actually thought for the majority of that game they were the better team. Especially, I think, you know, in the last half hour of the first half, I thought, you know, they were very unlucky to not score maybe one or even two tries. Obviously, Jennings dropped the ball fucking cold over the line twice. But I'm not going to take too much away for the Eels there. I mean, we've been very low on the Broncos pretty much all season, but that was a spirited effort from the Eels. And I thought, you know, if a couple of bounces of the ball went their way, they could have won.
Yeah, they were shell-shocked early on. You know, Suncorp Stadium, they conceded the first 3 tries of the match. And actually, if they had dropped their heads, they could have lost that game badly. And you're right, they came back. They're running it hard. The intent is there, but just not necessarily the execution. But you've got to give a lot of credit to the Broncos. You know, even though that they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, they have a lot of key forwards out. And when they do get all these guys back, like Maguire, I believe, should be good to go for Origin and then can come back into the Broncos squad after that. Even Gillette is not out for the season. Alex Glenn will be back in there. Hopefully Corbin Sims can return as well. Other blokes are playing so well, like Pangai Jr., Matt Lodge. And if they can get their back line figured out, that team actually should make the top 8. So we've got to, maybe we were underrating Brisbane just a little bit. But yeah, I think we took Eels purely on a line value play that we felt over 6 points was too many points in that game. We ended up getting a +8 and they lost by 8. So it does show the value of shopping around, because truth be told, there was no plus eight anywhere on the board. We got a plus 7.5 at $1.93. And then we put a 6% stake on Brisbane by exactly 8 points, paying like 17-1. We manufactured basically a plus eight where we would get our money back. And most people wouldn't be willing to do that. But it does go to show, you know, that saves you a loss. So doing things like that, little tricks, are some of the ways that we can avoid losing, which is the same as winning in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving on to Friday, the Raiders beat Manly 21-20. And despite fucking the Raiders actually winning that game, we had 9 plays. We went 2-7. Unfortunately for us, yeah, just all the fucking plays that we had, you know, were leading into Raiders, you know, 1st-10, 1st-15, 1st-20. And of course, they reach all 3 of those milestones. But Manly just got those early 2 tries. And then I thought the Raiders, you know, were the much better team throughout the back end of that, the last hour of that game. But that could be the win. We've been saying for a few weeks now, like, the Raiders have had some heartbreaking losses, and will they just give up? This could be the win that springboards their season. I mean, they're still a very talented roster. But yeah, take nothing away from Manly. I mean, they fought hard, but I thought the Raiders deserved the win. They were the better team on the day.
Yeah, you're halfway through the season and you look at who's in the top 8, and the Tigers just won, so they're in the 8. You look outside, who is there outside the 8 that you could foresee making a charge up the ladder? And I have to say Brisbane, who's right on the fringe. I mentioned before, if they get guys back. And the other one would be the Raiders. As you mentioned, that's really confidence-boosting win to scrape home. Absolute bullshit from a betting point of view for us. I mean, first of all, we get the Raiders -2, which is a great line. You've got to be happy with that when it closes -4.5. Fucking win by 1. I mean, what else did we have? We had first team to score over 15 points, or, you know, 15. They're down 14-2. They roar all the way back to 14-all. Give away a penalty out wide. And that's after Croker, who's meant to be one of the better kickers in the comp, fucking was 0-2 from his conversions, while Hodkinson was 4-4 on his kicks. That's unlucky. Then you're down 16-14. Manly get someone sent in the bin. Raiders are absolutely charging. You're about to score and be the first team to 20. You're going to get your lead above 2. They blow it. Not only that, they then concede a ridiculous try to Kelly out wide when they're playing against 12 men. And all of a sudden, we've lost our first to 20 as well. And then we may get some redemption with Cocktrick getting that late fingertip to the ball. I mean, it was the right call, but that would have swung. We had Raiders to score more than 21. Great. We had Raiders to win by more than 2.
Raiders over 3.5 tries.
Over 3, exactly. So that was a difference between 3 different bets, winning or losing. So it wasn't our night for that one. But yeah, and that's kind of annoying because we said the Raiders were going to win the game and they did.
Yeah, exactly. And to touch on what you said, it probably is an underrated factor that we didn't talk about too much. But now with Hodjo in that team, it makes a huge difference, not only from a conversion standpoint, but also when you get these pens, you know, that are 10 metres, 15 metres out from the sideline, they're fucking happy to take them now. Where else, you know, for the whole season, they would just fucking take the tap. They wouldn't even think about taking the pen out there with cherry kicking. So that is an underrated factor, and it's a boost to Manly. Then next up, the absolute grind of a game, Storm beating the Cows 7-6. We loved the under, and we did have a bunch of plays on the Cows after the news that Slater was out, and we did go 7-2. Just two of those teams also that have been relatively under teams this year. And we do always like, you know, in those big games, big rivalry games, it was a huge game. It could be the last time Thurston and Smith ever play against each other. It always does tend to trend to the under. We were a little bit worried about the Cows' motivation, but they did come out firing. But all in all, you know, pretty average game, I would say. And to be honest, like, Thurston does not look right. We've said this for weeks now. Morgan still is, like, very much struggling. So this Cows team of last year, when you had, you know, all the troops healthy and stuff, it's not that way anymore. And it's similar with the Storm, you know, like, still very good defense from both teams, but they're just struggling in attack. And that's why we kind of loved the under for this one, just because of how both teams have been going this year as well.
Well, it won't be the last time they meet, because Thurston and Smith can still meet in the finals, of course.
They could.
Sorry. I mean, I said on this pod, Cowboys had to win. Everyone said Cowboys season's over, and I was saying it's not over yet.
So bad.
They've got Rabbitohs and Storm at home 2 weeks in a row. You win both of them, and your season's back on track. And they could not have gone closer to winning both of those games. They put in valiant efforts in both. For me, that Friday night game was the tale of the Shanks. shanked field goal attempt by JT, which could have squared it up, and it wasn't that difficult of an attempt. And the shank kick for touch by Morgan when it was 6-all at the time, right? He can't find touch, and that was the set where the Storm got the go-ahead field goal. I mean, that is an absolute cardinal sin, and it does sum up Morgan's season and the Cowboys' season. And, yeah, we were all over unders. We killed it. I wanted to take the Storm just to win the match last week. You wanted to take the Cowboys plus 2.5. In the end, we're both actually right. It falls in between those two numbers.
We would have won everything.
But when we heard that Slater was out, we did actually step in and grab a couple extra plays on the Cowboys. We got them plus 2 before it had, dropped down any lower. Got the Cowboys in the second half. So we split a couple of those plays because we also had the Cowboys catching a point first half. But overall, made some good money on that Friday night tussle.
Yeah, definitely. And then one game that we stayed away from, or one of two games that we stayed away from this week, was Roosters-Titans. And like we kind of say every week, the advantage that you have as a bettor is that you don't have to fucking play every game. Sometimes you just don't feel like there's value. And if we had to pick a side, we would have chosen the Roosters, and we probably would have cleaned up. I mean, they fucking won by 20 points in the end. But their neutral venue just kind of turned us off, and we know that the Titans fight till the bitter end. And you would have been shitting yourself if you had Roosters, laying 10.5 or 9.5 points when the Titans got up 14-6. And then, Roosters just kind of showed their class after that. And when they are clicking, that is the best team in the comp. It's the most talented roster. But, I mean, the difference was, even once it got to 14-all, it was, getting a little bit tighter. Titans were right in it. It was getting into an arm wrestle. And Ash Taylor gets fucking sin-binned. And the Roosters score 14 points in the 10 minutes that he's gone. And that just crushed their soul. But yeah, once again, Roosters just showed that they're a class above.
Yeah, and we both came into Wednesday night's pod, which is when we previewed the round. We both had Roosters minus 9.5 written on our page. We really wanted to play that. We love the Roosters. We said we're definitely not betting against the Roosters because we know what they're capable of, and there's no point catching a bunch of points against the Roosters when they get in a mood. And in this game, they scored, 26 unanswered points. In the second half, it was the 10 show, or 22 at least, unanswered points. They were down 8 and they won by 20, so maybe it was 28. Yeah, Teddy was all over them. The final score was a bit misleading, you're right. The Titans were a bit hard done by. A couple of tries disallowed as well, which were questionable, like one where it was a debate whether the man catches the ball behind the lead runner. Another forward pass, it was a harsh call when the scoreline was 8 and 14. And at that point, the handicap is still in the balance, and the Roosters did, just run over them, and they're probably going to have a bunch of players picked for New South Wales on the back of that, which is why we've actually already taken West Tigers at $1.90 to actually beat the Chooks next week. So that's like one slight positive we can get out of that. But you mentioned we hit another double-digit multi-winner this weekend yesterday, which shows that we were on the ball with all three games on Super Saturday, and we had the Roosters to win by 11-20. So we nailed that. But as I said, it's a bit of a shame that we didn't pull the trigger on a few best bets on that game, because we would have won them all. I would have been actually, in a way, happier to see the Titans keep that close so that Roosters stayed under the radar, but not to be.
Yeah, of course. And it's always the fucking way. We always say, we knew, at the start of the season, this Roosters team was going to be a juggernaut. And then every fucking time, I swear, we bet on them, they'd lay an egg. But yes, of course, when we stay away, that they finally turn up. But yes, you mentioned forward passes. What a debacle of a week for forward passes. I can get into this another time, but when is it going to be when we can rule on a forward pass from the video ref? Absolutely diabolical calls, missing ones that are fucking 2 metres forward and then calling ones that are fucking flat, if not backwards. Then another game we stayed away from was Rabbits-Warriors. Rabbits won that one over in New Zealand 30-10. We stayed away from it. Just way too much uncertainty for us. Obviously, with the Rabbits missing Alex Johnson, Greg English slotting to fullback, we kind of had reservations where the GI would go, obviously not try, but go 100% with Origin selection coming up. And it's huge for him this year. And then obviously we heard the rumours that Lino was not going to be playing a bit earlier on in the week. So, if anything, we were leaning Warriors, but with that news, we just couldn't take it. But fuck me, Warriors, what a dismal fucking effort at home. Like, you fucking concede 2 tries against 12 men. That is absolutely diabolical. That's unforgivable. Very, very poor effort from the Warriors at home. But like we've said, this Rabbits team is very good. They're fucking contenders. They're a top 4 side in my eyes anyway. But we just stayed off because they weren't fully healthy.
Yeah, nobody else had the Rabbitohs in the top four before this season. I mean, everyone's acting like saying, oh, yes, of course, they're so good. They've got great forwards. They've got exciting outside backs. Okay, but nobody was saying this before the season started. And even when they lost their first two games, we still had them right up on our power ratings. We knew what they were capable of. We also knew it was revenge factor because the Warriors already pulled their pants down earlier this year. So there were reasons to take the Bunnies last night, but I did expect a much better effort from the Warriors. You've got to remember, last time they played at home, and they can be really hard to beat at Mount Smart, they lost 32-0 to the Roosters. So you don't expect them to come out and get destroyed. And you mentioned, I mean, you're conceding twice against the team with a man in the bin, but you concede soft tries. I mean, such a soft try to Sutton. You let both Burgess guys just bully you and barge over. And when the Warriors have won games this year, I understand no Johnson, no Leno, but when they've won games this year, they've won it on the back of their defense, and they've shown this year their attitude and their defense. They've been turning up, and they can defend with anybody. But it just goes missing some games. And it went missing yesterday. And it's funny, we actually, if anything, leaned unders with those key players out. And we did cash under 7.5 tries for that aforementioned 11-1 multi. So we do get home there with the Warriors only getting over twice and Bunnies five times. So at least we did make money on that game as well.
Yeah, and it's a funny one because generally, you know, with betting, you want to kind of play on the team off a blowout loss because you think, you know, they've just gotten embarrassed. The punters are off them. So you're getting a little bit more value and they come in, you know, with even more fire the next week. But Warriors, like we've seen over the past bloody decade, probably, they are just one of those confidence teams. And you know, one of the rare times where you probably actually do want to bet off on them off a win instead of off a loss. And next up, Panthers beating the Dragons. Battle at the top of the table, 28-2. We only had two plays on that one, but we did sweep. We loved the unders. We really loved the unders. We just thought this would be an absolute battle. And generally, what is betting 101 is when you get a really big game between, you know, two top-of-the-table sides, generally the defense heats up. And especially when you've got a bunch of players in both sides, you know, vying for origin selection, we did think, you know, it would be an absolute grind. And, I mean, there were only, what, four tries scored? We had under 6.5 tries. We had Panthers plus half a try. They obviously crushed them. But another one of those games, like you mentioned, where this week was probably, you know, more so about the plays that we should have made but didn't. And this is one of those ones where obviously you would have loved to have had more than two plays on it. But either way, I think we were on the right track with that one.
And
also, let me just say, Maloney and Cleary, lock it in. Cleary looks 100%. The guy's attacking the line with speed. He is fine. Those are your New South Wales halves.
I agree that they'll get picked up. We did an origin selection preview and I made the case for Brooks maybe actually being the better choice than Cleary. But, you know, after last night, maybe even I'm persuaded. And I know that Freddie will definitely pick those two. Top of the ladder. Funny one, actually. You can bet on who's leading the ladder. Although, is that after round 13? Just thinking of it now.
It's usually... No, I think it was 12 because I bet it last year, I think.
It probably is after round 12 because now the buys kick in. So you can bet on who leads the ladder after 12 rounds. Basically, because the Panthers won by 26 points, which included a converted try, basically on the siren off a grubber to Campbell Gillard, they end up on the identical differential and identical number of points to Dragons. And because the tiebreaker is actually on percentage, even though they had less points scored, the Panthers are leading the ladder halfway through the season. And I mean, there were lots of people that probably bet on the Dragons and felt pretty good. The only way you could lose that would have been for the Panthers to win that game by, it was 28-2. I'm having a blank.
Yep.
It was a big Saturday night. But yeah, they won by 26 points. I mean, that is unlucky. And I have to give a lot of credit to Penrith. We had them, I think, fifth going into the season. And right now, to me, I can see six kind of elite sides and then the rest. And so my three, maybe four that people weren't expecting, you got Penrith, you got Sharks, who we'll talk about next, you got the Bunnies, who we did call, Dragons were onto very early in the season, and then, of course, Roosters and Storm. You still have to keep them in there. And Penrith, I have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, they will struggle if they play games without Maloney and Cleary. But there was one stat that they concede the least number of offloads. And I don't think teams realise how valuable offloading the ball is. I mean, a well-timed offload is like gaining an extra tackle in a set when all the defenders have dropped back. And that just kind of speaks to how well they swarm in defence. They play with great energy. I'm reconsidering what I think of Hook as a coach. because he has these guys gelling and they've lost key players. Yep. You know, lose Dylan Edwards at fullback, but Watene Zalesniak is one of the best fullbacks in the comp. He's damaging and he's a scary runner. He plays a different style to Edwards. You mentioned those halves are playing so well. The forward pack is very strong when you have guys like former internationals like Tarmow just, you know, in the number 17 jersey. So they were too good for the Dragons. A couple late tries maybe ultimately doesn't show that that game was a bit more of an arm wrestle than the final score. But Penrith, the team is the real deal for sure. And Dragons, I think they're a bit flat. They will be fine moving forward too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you've got to also credit probably Maloney a little bit as well. It just seems like his leadership, anywhere he goes, the team seems to lift. So, yeah, Panthers rolling. Then next up, one of the ones that we got very wrong was the Sharks beating the Knights 48-10. We thought the Knights would actually show up in this one. You're fucking at home, in front of your home fans. You fucking won last week. Like, let's fucking lift, boys. But no, they fucking had an absolute fucking shocker. Very, very embarrassing. They miss Pierce more than anything now. I mean, some of those fifth tackle options, you've got to be kidding me. The amount of times they got tackled with the ball on fifth tackle and just rushing plays is fucking an abomination. And what is even worse is, like you've been saying, you know, throughout the season, that goal line defense is horrid. They really need to step that up. It's funny, like in the first half, it seemed fairly even, you know, possession-wise. Knights had their chances, you know, they're attacking the line, they get three sets in a row on, you know, on the Sharks line, but no, the fifth tackle options are horrible, and then Sharks just come right back down the other end, first chance they get, they score a try, so Knights really need to, they need to step it up, but I've been a little bit down on the Sharks this year, but I'm convinced after the last few weeks, they're legit, they're a top six team.
Yeah, before the season, we look at the Sharkies and we've always liked the ability of guys like Matty Moylan and Josh Dugan for sure. And we know that the talent that the Sharkies had, Valentine Holmes, guys like Wade Graham, but they've had injuries to a lot of key players. They've had questionable combinations. We said that it would take time to gel. And to be fair, it has taken time because we've just finished round 12. They've won six in a row, but their first six matches were a bit more sketchy, of course. And we wanted to start betting on the Sharks, but they've had a torrid run of injuries, a lot of key players out from injury. And we went against them today, mostly just because, once again, the line just seemed a little bit too high for a Knights team that usually turns up at home on big occasions. They should have done today.
Yeah.
You get feet arrested before kickoff. You've got a great line. The line closes 4 and 4.5. We've got +6.5. We've got +4 in each half. But I don't even care about the combinations or saying they miss Mitchell Pearce because you will not beat anybody in the NRL you defend like that. And I was going to mention goal line defense as well. There's just a couple of teams this competition, when they have to defend a repeat set on their line, you just have no faith that they can actually keep them out. They're fucking weak. They're pea hearts, honestly, at home.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what Brownie's doing. I don't know if they dropped their heads because Ponga was off for 10 minutes and they seem to all rely on him. But it was piss poor from the Knights, honestly. It was fucking embarrassing, just like the softness of the tries they conceded. Whereas the Sharks, I just mentioned before, that they're in our top six of real-deal sides. They're only going to get stronger when they do get everybody on the park together and as those combinations continue to gel. And, yeah, we said that was a play on Newcastle today, not a play against the Sharks because we like the Sharks. And I hate betting against a team that I know is good and then they go out and have one of the better games and show everything we already knew they were capable of. But you do get times. We take a lot of underdogs. And sometimes when it goes wrong, it can go very wrong.
Yeah, that's true. And that will do it for this week. So just a quick one today, obviously, just to wrap up with the round. But... like we always do, make sure to join us Wednesday night, 6 p.m. breakdown round 13 of the NRL. We're still, you know, hitting at a very, very healthy clip. And if you played all of our bets this week, despite our losing round this week, you're still up thousands of dollars for the average, you know, $100 punter. But all the tips that you can find there in the Tripod app, so get that one. It's free, obviously, in the App Store and Google Play. And that will pretty much do it, I think, for this week. Enjoy the NBA Finals, I guess, until NRL rolls around.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's heating up. We've got Game 7 tomorrow and the day after if you follow the hoops. And there's lots of tips in the app, the Tripod app, including someone that hit 100-1 same game multi just a couple of weeks ago.
Correct.
And yeah, we're 57% on the NRL this season, and we don't even keep like a close record, just because there's that many numbers and fucking bets we're keeping track of. So we don't strictly keep a record of our multis, but we've hit 60 to 1 this year, 17 to 1, added 11 to 1 yesterday. There's no doubt you're up even more on the multis as well. And I mean, who in punting, whether they're selling picks or free picks, is actually making money betting multis? But that's something you can actually say if you followed our multis over this season and past seasons too. So let's keep it going halfway through. We'll see you guys Wednesday night. We eagerly await to see what the Origin sides look like. So stay tuned in our group, in our app. If any info comes through, that might dictate some more value plays. But cheers for tuning in tonight, lads.
Totally. Yep, cheers, lads. Yes, and for every amateur puncher out there, fucking keep your ears and eyes peeled to the Origin selections, because then you have your betting apps open, bang. You find out certain players are in or out, you can bet that straight away. And generally, there will be a bookie or multiple bookies that don't move the line in time. So, yeah, just a little heads up for you guys. But we will see you 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Catch you then.